My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we will be jumping in and chatting to a guest who has also, once again, just come back from Walt Disney World. I'm talking jet-lagged, got back yesterday. So we'll get a trip report and we'll talk about all things magical in just a moment with Lauren. We've got some of your news and questions and advice to get through as well. If you want to drop me a message, at PodMagical on the socials is where I am. I did have a message, actually, a couple of weeks ago, looking for advice for non-shoppers at Disney Springs. If you're going to Disney Springs with the family and there's somebody who doesn't want to shop, any advice what we can do? Where can we dump somebody for a few hours? Well, it is all shopping and eating and drinking at Disney Springs. It depends how long you're going to be there for. I mean, if you're going to spend a couple of hours shopping, you could go and watch Cirque du Soleil or a film, because there's a cinema down there as well. Or if you're not going to be quite as long, there's plenty of bars, you know, sit over in Jock Lindsay's or STK. You can sit outside and watch the people go by. You could even time it with a happy hour. If you're not a drinker, maybe you could get Starbucks down there, or you could go over to Swirls on the Water and get a Dole Whip flight and sit and watch that. Just watch the world go by. Or maybe if you're going to go a little bit longer, and as long as you're staying at Disney World, you can ride the boat over to Port Orleans, maybe go over to French Quarter and get some beignets. Just depends how long you're going to be, or just leave them in the hotel by the pool and go and have some Disney. Otherwise, they're going to start moaning, going, are you ready? Have you finished yet? Or are you still shopping? Any questions that you may have, or if you'd like to be a podcast guest, maybe you've just come back from Disney, like Lauren, who we're going to speak to in a sec. Drop me a message at PodMagical on the socials. Fresh back, and I mean literally fresh back from her trip, or should I say their trip. It's Lauren and Dominic. Welcome home.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I say welcome home. This is not home, is it? Home is Walt Disney World.
Yes, completely.
Yeah, we're homesick.
Yeah, homesick. And I want to say you literally have just got back. It's been like hours since you landed, isn't it? Just a couple of days, even
it's
a day.
It's not far.
No, we got home Monday and... Yeah, it's been...
Landed 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And now Wednesday, we're back on the school run.
Yeah, how was that for the... How old are the kids?
So one child and she's six.
Right.
Yeah. So birthday this week as well.
So. Oh, right. So literally, not only has she had like all of summer to have fun, but like you land back and then the following day, you're straight back in school with jet lag and everything.
It's quite a stark turnaround.
Yeah. At least on the first day of school, when the teacher always says, so what have you all been doing over summer? At least she's got something to say, unless she says, nothing really.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to get quite the opposite. It'll probably be like a wind tunnel when she's...
Yeah. Should have got her on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now this wasn't your first trip to Disney World, was it? It was your first trip as a family. So tell me about your adventures at Disney World. When did it all start for you?
We initially had a trip planned in 2019, but if you do the maths, our daughter came along in 2019, so we had to cancel that trip. So for our honeymoon, we decided to go to Disney, finally, and we actually made that trip.
The original was booked for 2019, and then, as Lauren said, she would have been actually too pregnant to fly with the dates, so we had to just cancel that one off. And then in 2022 we had our honeymoon and we went, the two of us.
Yes.
Right, so tell me about your... so your honeymoon was the first time you went to Disney World then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. Where did you stay? What did you do?
So we stayed at Coronado Springs. We stayed in the Grandestino Tower that time. We did 2 weeks at Disney that time as well. And do you know, we sort of had it planned in our heads that we were going to go into the park sort of in the mornings and then go back in the evenings and all the rest of it. And we didn't do that, did we? We sort of
we'd anticipated we'd have a lot more rest than we actually did because we were just far too excited to stay in the room.
Grandestino Tower, though, is like, it always reminds me of Vegas. It's like the proper big hotel.
Yeah, it's got
and
very
it's only moderate as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of why we chose it, is it did feel a lot more adult, I suppose.
Yeah, it had a honeymoon sort of vibe to it, didn't it? Where it's, when you step into the tower, you wouldn't think you're in Disney at all.
No. And I think as well, we did look at like different deluxe resorts and we kept coming back to Coronado Springs. And
it was
just
a no-brainer because I feel like that's going to change at some point, that they will just maybe upscale it to a deluxe because
it has all the amenities.
It's really surprising. Yeah. It is a moderate, but hopefully they continue to keep it a moderate.
Yeah. And I'm guessing this trip that you've just gone back from, slightly different?
All very different.
Yeah. Certainly less adult. It was, we went to Pop Century this time.
Yeah.
And what made you choose Pop Century?
Theming.
Yeah.
It was just theming, Skyliner.
And I think it's worth saying, though, that this trip that we just came back from, it started as a 5-day trip to Disneyland Paris.
It did.
And then...
Did you get on the wrong plane?
And then it completely spiraled out of control, didn't it? Because it ended up being 3 weeks, two weeks at Disney and a week in the park down the road.
Yes.
You can mention the park down the road if you want, because they're you word.
No, yeah, we did. We stayed at Stella Nova, one of the new resorts that's sort of adjacent to Epic.
How did that compare, by the way? I don't think I've ever asked anybody this before. When you've gone from a Disney hotel to a Universal hotel, were they just as good as each other, or was the pros and cons for different ones?
It's hard to put your finger on it, but we definitely just felt more at ease once we were in Disney. And I don't know if that's just familiarity or if it's just that Disney touch. The hotel was lovely. I was really surprised with that Stella Nova, because that's, I know they call it something different, but effectively it's a budget hotel. It was so nice, really spacious and really close to the park.
Yeah.
But I think after those couple of days, we were ready to get to the
Yeah.
Oh, so you did Universal first?
Yes.
Wise. But you were there for a full week.
Was it 5 days?
Five days.
And did you spend all five of those days in Universal Parks?
Yeah, so we did one resort day where we went into Celebration and Disney Springs to get our daughter's magic band. But other than that, we were in the parks from morning till night.
And still plenty to do with the six-year-old at Universal? What was she loving?
Well, she really surprised us, to be honest with you, because she'd done any ride she was tall enough for.
Yeah.
She's quite tall for her age as well, because as we mentioned, she's turning 7.
Yeah.
But she'd done Hagrid's.
Hiccups Wing Gliders.
Hiccups Wing Gliders. Everything in Epic.
Yeah. There wasn't a ride where she wouldn't do.
Effectively, all she didn't do was Velocicoaster and Hulk.
Yeah.
Fair enough. A lot of people are adults who were like, worry about doing those as well. And was she happy then to go to Disney World? She wasn't having too much fun at Universal.
Well, no, she was. I think it was more us. It was more like we felt more on steady ground once we were in Disney. It was like Universal was still a bit of an unknown entity.
Yeah.
Whereas Disney, you felt like you're on home turf.
Mm.
Yeah. But I suppose if you're going that far, you might as well, if you're in Orlando, why not make the whole theme park adventure? Why not?
Yeah.
What were the highlights of this trip then? The magical memories that were made?
Oh, there were so many, honestly. So not only did our 5-day trip to Paris spiral out of control, it then spiraled further because we then also booked Mickey's Not So Scary and Typhoon Lagoon's H2O Glow parties.
Right, oh, you really went for it.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't a stone unturned. No. I think we left nothing on the table, didn't we? Everything was sort of done.
Yeah, I mean, we'd done Mickey's Not So Scary for our honeymoon, and after that first time we kind of felt it was a non-negotiable that if we're going in and around that time we would try and get tickets for that. And then fortunately the H2O Glow was actually gifted to us by Lauren's parents.
That makes it a no-brainer, doesn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. But I think in terms of a highlight, I think it was just sort of seeing our daughter like absolutely fall in love with it just as much as we had. You know, and I think seeing it through her eyes and doing it very differently in comparison to how we did it previously, it really sort of, what's the word for it? Kind of sparked more magic.
Yeah, it just elevated it, didn't it?
And did you go in fancy dress to the Not So Scary?
So we went as characters from Mary Poppins. So our daughter was Mary Poppins.
Obviously.
I went as Mrs. Banks. Okay. And Dom went as Bert.
Nobody went as a penguin.
No.
We did think better of it in that heat.
I mean, to be honest, I was regretting my decisions when I was wearing a waistcoat.
It was that hot, was it? Because obviously a lot of people might be going now because you have to come back. What was the weather like? And a lot of people have been saying it's been a wet year this year, Orlando.
To be fair, we weren't caught out as badly as I thought we were going to be.
No, not at all. The heat was... Yeah, really extreme. I mean, even for Orlando, they were putting out heat warnings a couple of times when we were there.
Yeah.
Mm.
With a couple of times, it was like 37 and they were saying it was feeling like 41, you know, Celsius.
Yeah, 44. There was a day that it felt 44 and we were in Animal Kingdom, which is
the hottest park
yeah. in the world. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be in terms of the rain, though.
No, it was only a couple of times.
And it was only the back end of August where we really felt it.
Yeah.
Because we were in Epcot one of the days and it rained for about 4 hours and we had to get from Guardians to La Cellier.
Yeah, it's just completely, as you would know, it's completely the opposite side of Epcot.
No, it's not like Paris where I know that like throughout Paris is like little undercover walkways and stuff that you can do this, like part of the way around. But yeah, not in Florida.
It was like a deluge, wasn't it? It was awful.
We also got caught in it in the day that we attempted four parks one day.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Again in Epcot,
Epcot does seem to be the...
it's just you and Epcot. So how did you plan for it? Were you kind of like keeping an eye on the weather? Did you know when storms were coming or did we just caught out all the time?
So for the most part, we knew when it was coming. Yeah, you can always feel it when there's 20 minutes out. But when it's 20 minutes out, the wind picks up.
Yep.
And you can always feel that it's on its way. So you sort of take cover. But there was a few times where it just started out of complete nowhere. It wasn't saying it was going to rain.
Nope.
There was a time that we were watching Fantasmic and you could see there was a storm coming through the clouds because the lightning was already starting.
Yeah, they managed to do Fantasmic and then it just opened up, didn't it?
And you got caught on the way out on that long walk out of Hollywood Studios.
Oh, yeah. That walk out of Hollywood Studios is so long as well.
Skyliner takes the edge off, but then obviously
it was down.
Oh yeah, because of the lightning. So what did they do? They just shove you on a bus. They direct to buses.
Well, that time we just waited it out, didn't we? Because they kept stop starting, and in the end we got on it. But there was a time when we came out of Hollywood Studios, where the storm was so bad that they had just put on buses.
Yeah, and that's just the normal bus station, isn't it? That's next door.
Because I know Epcot,
happened to me at Epcot, they're kind of like, because when you go to Epcot, you're nowhere near the bus station. It's a separate exit. And I was like, well, what happens if the Skyliner goes down? Have I got to go back into Epcot and all the way around? But no, there's a little thing around the back where the buses go, apparently.
Well, we did say that was the one sort of thing that I found a bit of a struggle in Disney was that when, you know, it's ambiguous whether the Skyliner is running or not. There's no way of actually knowing until you walk there. And then when you walk there, they're saying, yeah, well, or like, you know, at least you catch eye of a Skyliner not moving.
Yeah.
And then you have to walk back to the other end of the park.
Well, we did find that, though, that there was one day where they weren't running for whatever reason. I think there must have been lightning within the area and they were down. We knew sort of that they would be down. So we walked to the front of the park. And they said, no, it's up and running. So we went to the back of the park and they weren't up and running.
Yep.
And then we went back to the front of the park and they said, no, the buses aren't actually running because the Skyliner is now working.
Yep.
And then what we figured out was if we see a monorail, we know that that's true.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
That's the best thing. Yeah. If the monorail's running, you know the Skyliner's running because effectively they stop for the same reasons.
Mm.
These are the things that people don't tell you, aren't they? You've got to kind of work it out for yourself. Meanwhile, it's absolutely tipping it down.
Exactly. You're getting more and more soaked as you're trying to work these things out. And you're
It's different for like if you're on an adult trip and it starts raining because you can go, right, let's just go and sit in a lounge and have a few drinks and see it out. Yeah. I'm guessing when you've got a kid, you can't, and you know, as well, if it's going to rain for 4 hours, you don't want to go and sit in a hotel room for 4 hours. So it's like, yeah. What do you do?
Well, this is it. So when we were in Universal, there was a day where we came out of the parks around lunchtime and we said, right, let's go chill at the pool. It'd be lovely. And we got into the pool. 10 minutes later, the heavens opened on us.
Yep.
So all out of the pool. And we just went, do you know what? Actually, we're going to go back in the parks because I'm not sitting staring at four walls until it stops. So we just decided to go and risk it in the park.
And it can be quieter because a lot of people will just leave. So like, you know, it's the best time. And especially Animal Kingdom, that's when the animals come out. If it's been raining, exactly. You get on that safari.
We had a nice
brilliant.
Rainy day at Animal Kingdom.
We had a lovely rainy day.
Where we were all ponchoed up and it was so quiet in there.
Mm.
No such thing as bad weather. It's bad planning and bad clothing. That's what they say.
That's it.
Exactly.
And to be fair, the safari's a lot better when it's raining as well.
Yeah. Definitely get more animals coming out.
Yeah.
Should we talk about food? Were you on the dining plan?
We were. So we upgraded our dining plan to the table service dining plan.
Right. Okay.
Purely because our daughter's very into the characters. So we thought, we'll pay the difference because we'll make our money back. And because of her age, it just seemed a bit easier to have the characters come to us than sort of continually queuing.
I mean, some of the queues for the characters are just insane. Yeah. So, and like when you start looking at the bills coming in for those character dining,
it's crazy.
You make your money back
just by doing
quickly.
Two of those.
Yeah, about two or three of them, and you've made back the money you've paid for the uplift.
So did you get the quick service free and then you just paid the extra to
That's it.
Upgrade? Yeah. Ah, yeah, that's cool. So what were your favourite places? Did you do all the character buffets? Crystal Palace, Topolino's, did you do everything?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Garden Grill.
Great use of credits.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Garden Grill, Cinderella's Castle.
Royal Table. Do you know, my favourite one, I think, would have been Crystal Palace because we were meant to do that on our very original 2019 trip and we didn't end up obviously going on that.
Yeah.
We had it booked for our honeymoon for 2022 and we cancelled it. We cancelled a lot of our dining.
Yeah, but I think the thing is we had it different because we came just after COVID and they weren't doing the dining plan as such. They gave us a gift voucher.
Yeah.
So it was just, we found we weren't eating as much because it's just, you know yourself, the portions are so huge.
Yeah, you're more careful with your money, aren't you, when you've got a gift voucher, whereas when it's a diagram, let's just do it.
Well, that's it. You're eating more than you would when you're on the dining plan. That's what I found.
But I think, Crystal Palace was definitely a highlight for me because it had been so anticipated. And then doing it with our daughter, you know, when she was very young, her favourite characters were the Winnie the Pooh characters.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Obviously she's grown out of that a bit now.
But you haven't.
When she saw them, like she certainly didn't seem like she had grown out.
No,
at all.
Not at all.
I'd say for me it was Hoopty Doo. That was again one we had planned on doing.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of an unknown entity. We kind of seen it a little bit, but you didn't know what it was. And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And our daughter loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a brilliant, brilliant family show and good food in there as well. And again, plenty of it. That is good. Is that one or two credits, Hoopty Doo?
That's two.
Right.
Two.
But worth it.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite adult restaurant and then a favourite family restaurant from the times that you've been?
I'll let you field that one.
So favourite adult would be La Cellier.
Yep.
I mean, we went with our daughter this trip as well and she loved it equally.
Yeah.
But she loves steak. She's not a fussy eater in the slightest. But La Cellier for us is a non-negotiable as well. And in terms of a family restaurant, I think that's hard because the food that they offer for kids, especially kids that are not fussy at all, it's just mac and cheese.
It's quite basic. Yeah. It is quite basic.
But in terms of what she loved, I think she really liked 1900 Park Fair.
Yeah.
When we went for dinner, because there was a lot more option.
Yeah. 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 Like, And there was also Garden Grill. She was a big fan of.
Yeah.
I'm guessing as well, if she's an adventurous eater, then the buffets are the best because, you know, she can go for a life at the adult food. It's, you know, you're not restricted to just eating the kid stuff then at a buffet, are you?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think what we tended to do was I had booked in our reservations for 10 o'clock so that we got the changeover.
Clever.
And then you obviously get breakfast and lunch if it's a buffet. So it worked really well in our favour, didn't it? Because for the rest of the day then, it was just whatever we wanted,
yeah.
Quick service.
Or snacky.
At dinner. Like, it wasn't really, it was well planned.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the best value credit, like snack credit, quick service and table? Which ones would you say were like, these were the best value for a credit?
I'd say Crystal Palace, mm-hmm. in terms of food options you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one, because Hoop-Dee-Doo and... yeah, I'd say Hoop-Dee-Doo is good, but it is two credits.
Two, yeah, and Cinderella's yeah. two, isn't it? And is it La Salle yeah. two?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's worth it just in terms of the quality of steak and stuff. But again, it is two. I would say Crystal Palace in terms yeah. of bang for your buck.
I think 1900 Park Fair, because
yeah.
there is such different options. The characters are a lot rarer to meet, I suppose, as well. Where you've got Aladdin.
Yeah,
and
Tiana.
And Merida.
And again, to be fair, if you were trying to save on the credits, if you know, if you've got kids or adults, whoever wants to meet Cinderella, you can meet Cinderella yeah. at 1900.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
save yourself the 200, the two credits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But because for that, the Cinderella's Royal Table, I wouldn't be in a hurry to do that
back.
Again.
No.
I was a bit disappointed with that one. It wasn't,
yeah.
Didn't do it for me when, that was a few years ago before COVID, but I wasn't just, yeah, something wasn't right for me. What about attractions? What are your favourite attractions?
Well, that's easy for me.
Yeah.
Guardians is for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guardians for you. Guardians for our daughter. And I would say Rise.
Yeah.
And what about how it compares to Universal? What would you say is your favourite attractions over there?
I think Hagrid's collectively,
Hagrid's,
isn't
yeah.
it?
All three of us for Hagrid. But then, so we did Hagrid's four times because she wanted to. And then we also did Hiccup's Wing Gliders.
Yeah, that was that's a really good
yeah.
like coaster, like a family coaster.
Yeah.
Because it's still quite...
It's like a mini Hagrid's.
Yeah, Hagrid's like...
I heard rumours that when Villains Land opens, that the Hagrid's ride is going to be what the Maleficent ride's going to be at
yes.
Magic Kingdom. I've heard a little rumour about that, so...
Yes.
I was going to say I heard it. I think I'm pretty sure it was on your...
It's probably me. I'm probably spreading the rumour in hope that actually, if we keep saying it enough, I said it about the Muppets doing Rock and Roller Coaster, though. If I keep going on about it, eventually it will become
It'll
Rock
happen.
And Roller Coaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you there for Food and Wine Festival, by the way, or that just
about.
After? Oh, you did get anything on there that was good?
It was on our four parks one day.
Yeah.
And it started the day before that. We were only in Epcot for about 3-4 hours.
And the heavens opened as well.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we didn't actually get to sample any of the...
No, very disappointed that
yeah,
we couldn't.
Because we were there for it on our honeymoon. Yeah. And loved it. There was a corned beef hash, which I think they'd done again, which was a real surprise.
I've had that. That's good. That's like on...
Yeah.
It's not corned beef, as we would say, corned beef out of a tin.
No,
it's like pulled beef, isn't it? And it's on like,
yeah.
Well, they call them potato chips. We call them crisps.
Yes. Yeah,
I agree with you. Very, very good. Very good. Do you do anything else in Orlando besides the park? Did you venture out shopping or anything else?
We did. So this time we had a car. And so we did Celebration. We did...
We've done the 80s diner at Celebration.
Yeah.
That was quite good fun.
And we did the outlets, but then we also did Maine Coon Manor Cat Cafe.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
It opened this year. And we went purely because our daughter is a massive cat lover.
Right.
Which is just an animal lover in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's quite heavily cat obsessed.
And honestly, it was brilliant.
Yeah. If people are into cats and what have you, it's definitely worth
definitely
it. It's really,
doing.
Yeah.
It's a really nice break out of the parks as well. It's really calming in there, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's only in Kissimmee.
Yeah.
So whether you're staying on site without a car at Universal or Disney, you're only 20 minutes away from it.
Yeah. jumping an Uber.
Yeah.
Not fun.
And it's quite well linked as well, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's not too far off of iDrive.
No.
So it really is a worth a visit.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. And there's one in Birmingham if you're not going to Orlando. There's a cat cafe in Birmingham Grand Central as well, so if you want that one. Any top tips, anything you learn from this trip that you go, I wish we'd have known that before, or I would tell people to do that, or I'd do that differently?
Maybe just more resort days.
Yeah.
More days where you're not in the parks. I mean, we did have it booked in for every 3 to 4 days, but I think our daughter, by the end of the trip,
yeah,
she really needed that break.
Yeah.
Because it was a 3-week trip and it was quite long. She really needed those full days to do nothing, whereas we quite like resort hopping and filling the days doing something when it's a rest day. But she needed
sort of pool time and stuff like that.
It's a thing, isn't it? You put in a rest day and then you sit in there going, oh, we're just wasting our time. We could be in a park doing something.
Exactly.
But it's so difficult, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly that. I mean, there was one day where we sort of divided and conquered a little bit, and I wanted to go to Springs and then get the boat to Port Orleans French Quarter for the beignets. And then you decided to go into a Hollywood Studios, didn't you, Dom?
Yes.
And then in the evening, we were like, should we just go back into a park? And so, you know, it sort of happened where it was meant to be doing nothing. And we ended up doing the most.
Well, our daughter got a break because we had basically, Lauren went off and done Springs. I stayed with her at the pool. When Lauren got back, I went to Hollywood Studios.
Oh,
she did get a break.
Good idea. It's quite nice sometimes to have a little bit of me time, just a couple of hours on your own. I love one park on my own, or Disney Springs or whatever. It's great.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think, because it was such a long trip as well, you did need that sort of, you know, hour or two just away.
Just a break,
for 3 weeks. Definitely. Yeah. Now, I know you said you did 4 parks in one day. If I was to give you your perfect day at Disney World, would you do 4 parks again? Talk me through what your perfect day would be.
So mine and Dom's are going to be completely opposite.
Okay, all right. Let's do 2 different park days then.
So mine would actually not be going into a park at all. I think mine would sort of be predominantly resort hopping, just wherever sort of the day took me, I suppose, because I love going into different resorts and sort of just seeing what's happening, and if there was a scavenger hunt in a resort, or if there was an activity. I think, like, you know, with Port Orleans, you've kind of got the beignets there, so you'd start there, and then you can get on the boat to Springs, and then you've got loads of different options to go to whatever resort bus came first, I suppose. But ultimately, I think mine would just sort of be filled with resort activities or scavenger hunts at the resorts, that kind of thing.
Dominic, what about you?
All right, so for me it's more Crack of Dawn. Rope drop in Animal Kingdom.
Right.
Get on.
I know where you're going. You're going 4 parks, aren't you?
Not 4. No, I wouldn't go.
Because usually if somebody starts at Animal Kingdom, I'm going, all right, that's 7:30. Yeah. They open early. You're going to crack all 4. Go on, sorry, carry on.
No, do you know what? I wouldn't go for that, because that is actually full on, because I think we clocked up something like 36,000 steps that day, which is just
crazy.
Yeah, it was intense. So, but I would start the day Animal Kingdom and just knock out sort of Expedition Everest, Flight of Passage, all those sort of things. And then I'd sort of make my way over. I'd head back to like Riviera and dip in there maybe for something to eat, Topolino's. And then I'd be heading over to Hollywood Studios. No, sorry, I'd head over to Epcot, do Guardians about 7 times and finish in Hollywood Studios. With Fantasmic.
Perfect end. Anything planned? So I know you've only just got back, but the best way to beat the Disney blues is to plan the next one. So,
We opted to beat the Disney blues by booking our next trip before we'd even left.
Where were you when you booked? Were you in a queue for a ride? I've done that before.
No, we hadn't even left.
We hadn't even left the country.
For this trip, we'd already booked in.
We booked before you even left. All right, okay.
Yeah. So, because obviously with the dining plan coming out in April, May time, we saw a very good deal for next summer. And we thought, well, let's just do it. So it's booked in. It's ready.
not paid for.
It's getting there.
Yeah. But it's just a deposit, isn't it? That's all we need. Don't worry about it. We'll worry about that near the time.
That's future us's problem.
Yeah. Definitely not one to think about when you've just got back and you look at your credit card bill going, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, so with the trip that we've got booked in, it's not going to be a 3-week extravaganza at all.
No, much more scaled back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this time was different because it was her first time and it's your 40th this year. It's our 10-year anniversary getting together.
It was a big year, so we kind of just threw everything at it. Yeah, exactly.
Always. But, I mean, we were looking at originally doing Hong Kong Disney next year.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, we just came back to let's go to Orlando.
Yeah, just Florida always.
I think it's cool. You see a good deal, and like you go, well, if you just kick yourself, like next year you go, we want to go back, and then you start looking at the price, going, if we'd have only booked it then.
Yeah, I mean the deals we get are unreal.
Yeah.
To be fair, like because when we spoke to some Americans out there, they can't believe the prices we get on tickets and stuff like that.
Oh, they hate the fact that we get that 14-day ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're like, what is it now? It's about 700 quid each or something like that?
Yeah.
It's not even 50 quid a day.
No, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I was talking to a couple on the bus on the way into Hollywood Studios one of the days from Epcot. That was the four bus one day. But they were saying that they were there for like 4 days and the ticket prices and things like that. I was like, I'm really sorry, but I can't relate to that.
But we do have further to fly and it costs us more for the flight. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Give and take your swings and roundabouts. What is it, by the way? I usually ask this at the start. What is it that why you love Walt Disney World? What is it that draws you back? What is it? Why have you decided to book already before you even got there this year?
So for me, and I think for you, Dom, as well, is we were children that desperately wanted to go to Disney World. And now that we have our own adult money, we decide that we are going to spend it on Disney World. But ultimately as well, it's that every trip looks different.
Yeah.
And it can be going into the parks every day, doing everything all at once, or it can be the most chilled, relaxing time. Because you can create that because of everything that Disney have to offer.
Yep. I think additionally as well, I'd say for me is it's the escapism.
Yeah.
It's that like it's just that 3 weeks we just had there. You're not thinking about bills. You're not thinking about work. And especially being there with our daughter, it feels like she gets to see us be kids with her.
Yeah.
Which was sort of a new element this time around.
Said on the last podcast, you get 18 summers, so.
But this is it, yeah.
And on that note, we're now back to Earth and back to work, back to school. Have you done your washing yet, or have we not even unpacked?
Do you know what? We aren't unpacked, but we did 2 loads of washing while we were out there.
Yeah, so before there's this.
I'm feeling pretty smug.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite a good thing. We're talking about what to do if it rains. If it's towards the end of your trip, you've got a couple of hours and it rains, throw a wash on, throw a dry on, fold it up, put it in your suitcase, and you come back with a nice case of clean clothes. Ah.
Yeah. That was exactly what we've done.
Yeah. Well, I love that. There's the real magic. Getting your washing done.
Yeah, that's it.
So if you want to find out any more, if you want to follow your adventures, can we follow your adventures as well?
Yeah, so we are Park Hop Adventures on Instagram, and our podcast is also Park Hop Adventures.
And that's all one word on Instagram.
Are you ever looking for podcast guests out of interest, just asking for a friend?
Do you know what? We are very early in the podcast journey because episode 3 is coming out this Thursday.
Right,
but we would definitely be looking to do that at some point.
Right, I'll follow you on my adventures. I'll listen to you when I'm at Disney World.
Yes, there you go.
Laurel and Dominic, thank you so much. Have a magical day.
Have a magical
day. You too.
If you are just back or you know you're coming back soon from Disney World and you've You got burning energy just to talk about it, drop me a message at PodMagical is where I am. We'll chat about it. I should be heading over to Walt Disney World very soon. So on the next podcast, I'll talk about stuff that I've been doing, hopefully having a good mooch around the Food and Wine Festival, which is currently on at Epcot, along with the Eat to the Beat concert series. There's not a lot of people on the Eat to the Beat concert series that I'm aware of over the next few weeks. Definitely not why I'm there. Cheers to Cheese will open in a couple of weeks' time at Communicore Hall. That's part of the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. Some things open slightly later. Meanwhile, over at Magic Kingdom, we've got Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party that's on at select nights, Halloween Horror Nights over at Universal as well. Hollywood Studios, the Magic of Animation opens on a Monday, the 14th. So this is where the old animation building used to be. So there's things inside there like Olaf drawers, where you can learn to do animations. There's Off the Page, which is where you can meet some of your favourite Disney characters. Photo ops down there. Drawn to Wonderland, which is an inside playground inspired by Mary Blair, taking on Alice in Wonderland. So hopefully I'm going to be in there over the next few days. So check the socials and I'll share some videos and pictures of that. Magical Dining is still on as well until the end of September. If you want to get some deals at certain restaurants around Orlando, some of which are at Disney Springs or the Swan and Dolphin. Talking about Disney Springs, there's a lot of new fall menus. I nearly said autumn then. So there's new cookies at Gideon's. There's a new Irish pumpkin shake at Ragland Road. A new menu at Chef Art Smith's. All kind of like autumn fall inspired pumpkin type menus. Meanwhile, we've got the new Hurley Burley, which is opening over at Disney's Boardwalk. October the 1st, Hurley Burley will open. That's where the dueling pianos used to be. So it's actually going to be open during the day for families. And then at night, it'll be over 21s. But they've got a menu on there. There's like sliders. There's a really nice old-fashioned that's caught my eye, like an autumnal old-fashioned. So Hurley Burley at Disney's Boardwalk opens on the 1st of October. If you're going to be going, it's not a bad time, actually, because it's pretty quiet, probably one of the quietest times of the year to be over at Walt Disney World right now. Crowds are pretty low throughout September, especially midweek. I'm guessing midweek you'd be pretty much walking on and off a lot of attractions. Obviously busier at weekends. Do pack your poncho, though, because it will rain. It's still been a very rainy year. And here is my top tip to end this episode of the podcast. Pack your poncho, but make sure you take it with you before you go. Yes, get a poncho from like Poundland or somewhere, or B&M or somewhere like that. Don't wait until you're at Disney World and it starts raining, because suddenly you'll go in the shops and those big stacks of ponchos for $10 or more will appear from nowhere, because they know it's a captive audience and that you'll pay it because you want to chuck a poncho on. So why are you waiting until it rains to buy an overpriced poncho when you can get one from a couple of quid and take it with you? Stick it in your backpack. Be prepared, because yes, it will rain. There you go. That's your top tip from this episode. If you could like and subscribe and follow us on socials, that'd be brilliant. We'll be back in 2 weeks, or with a Canadian guest on our next episode in a couple of weeks' time. Until then, please stand clear of the doors.